Welcome to the Daydream Podcast. I'm Jamie. I'm with Adrian, of course.
Yes, you are.
And together we are Daydream.
No, that just sounds like we're a really shitty boy band.
Well.
Here we are.
And we're back.
The Daydream Podcast, almost 5 years later. 5 years
up. I can't believe it's been 5 years later. Can you believe that?
Not really. It seems like it was yesterday. We were talking about Shots Fired FC, uni, and then a lot's changed since.
Everything's just a bit different at the moment, isn't it? It's definitely different times at the moment. If you're listening to it currently and up to date, you'll probably still be in isolation. If you're listening to this 5 years down the track, like I listened to our old recordings, this is an isolation period. So we are in our own homes at the moment. I'm using a crappy gaming mic, and Jamie's using the awesome Yeti mic, so he will sound crystal and clear. Give us a listen to that voice.
Hello, it's Jamie.
I feel like I'm having deja vu, but it sounds like love song dedications. Like at the moment, the way you're talking to that mic, it's just crystal clear and smooth.
I feel like as much as, you know, we prepared for an hour before this, but I feel like you still feel like you're unprepared.
Yeah, right. Like, I feel like we can sit there, talk and have a laugh and say, you know, save it for the content and save it for the podcast. But at the same time, it's hard to get that flow going when you're not with the person. I feel like we usually get a great conversation going, mainly because we're face to face. But right now, you know, we're looking at each other on a computer screen. So it's a little bit different.
Oh, but I feel like we're checking the levels, checking the mic quality, checking the webcam just because we're looking at each other. And, you know, we still think that it's could be improved, but I guess that's because we're not there in person. You always want to try and refine it as much as you can.
That's it. That's isolation for you, isn't it? Like, it's just you'll catch me a couple of times. Like, you might hear a rustle of a mic. I'm just trying to make sure that you know, the audio sounds good. But yeah, as Jamie actually told me before the call, he was saying to me, like, hey, think about it this way. Everyone's in isolation. Have you heard the other podcasts? Like, they're all the same. They're all going through the ambiguity that we're going through.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean, sure, some of them sound great, but others, you know, I mean, they are remote. People didn't really have time to set up for that. So,
nah. If I had known, I would have raided my local JB Hi-Fi and purchased a better mic. But I think there were more important things at stake at that point.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't want to ask. I mean, I guess there's only point in me asking you what you've been up to.
It's funny because for those of us who don't know, like, it has been obviously 5 years, as we mentioned, since we recorded last, but Jamie and I actually live quite far away from each other as it is. So I feel like this is the first time I've had a proper, like, voice conversation with you in probably a good year and a bit, to be honest. What do you think?
Probably at least that, I would say. I mean, it's not really easy to catch up when you're across the other city from each other, so...
It is a bit harder, but I think it's quite funny because, like, dude, like, so much has changed. I think rather than talking about what we've been doing in isolation, I kind of just want to touch upon what we've done since the last podcast we released. Like, what's changed? I mean, the world's kind of changed. We know that, but what's changed in our lives? Dude, you got engaged, like, not long ago at all. So round of applause for that.
Well, yes, thank you. But you also got married as well.
Well, yeah, I was one step ahead in that regard, but no, dude, like, that's such a cool thing. I just think that we've been lucky enough to go through these life changes and go through that. But dude, like, it's like, I was listening back and I was talking about my girlfriend in one of the podcasts, and I was like squinting, like, who, what? I thought I'd be married for years, but obviously the podcast has been a lot longer since we've done a recording.
Yeah, I mean, at that point I wasn't even in a relationship, so it's things happen quite quickly.
Yeah, it's funny. Jamie's lovely fiance, Candace, shout out to Candace if you're listening, because Jamie will force her to listen after this. But she's lovely. Little background story. I actually knew Candace quite well as well, and I like to think I had some role in the in you two meeting, because when I was in film school, which probably from the last podcast sounded like I was still in film school, I'm no longer in film school. I'm graduated, but
finally got there.
Finally got there after multiple failings. But I think the cool thing is that Candace was actually an actress in one of the films that I was casting for back when I was doing Adrian Hodgson casting. And Jamie got to come on set and got to be a part of that process. And I like to think that was how you guys met, but I'm sure there's a more romantic story at play.
No, I mean, it was on set. I don't think it was that set, but it was a set. I think, I don't know whether we'd left uni or not by that stage. I think if we hadn't, we were pretty close to it. But yeah, it was a set anyway, but you were the catalyst to that, I suppose, because without you casting her in that first film, she wouldn't have been cast in any of the others. Hence, wouldn't have met her. So, thank you.
That's all right. I'm honestly glad. I remember when you called me, and I don't know if you remember this, but you actually called me to tell me that you were actually dating. And I remember like being so ecstatic, like just yelling through the phone, like, oh my God, I feel like I did this. I was purely selfish reasons, but I still think it was worth it.
From the time of when I first met her and then it's probably about a year later when we got together, I couldn't quite believe it either.
Right. I think it's times have changed, man. Our biggest focus 5 years ago was our indoor soccer team, Shots Fired, rest in peace. but like now it's like, you know, we're grown up now. Like, I'm losing my hair. People who won't be able to see this cause it's a podcast. But I've shaved my head, just because, you know, it's that time to get serious and I've grown my beard out and, you know, Jamie, you've grown your beard out. I think you had a beard when last time we did.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I shaved really.
Yeah, so he's definitely had it for a while, but I think we're just changing physically. Like, our lives are changing a lot as well. And yeah, man, like, it's crazy to listen back to those old episodes, you know. I think about it quite a lot, about where we were when some of them were recorded, you know. Was it at my house, my parents' house? Was it...
I think one was in a car, you know, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we did a couple in the car. That sounds weird, but you know, like it was illegal or something, but yeah, it'd be quite interesting. Whilst we're recording, as you know, we're in different positions. I think one of the biggest things I'm noticing right now is I'm watching my record bar go across. So if it is quite peaking at the moment, it is going up to the point where this is probably unusable. But in saying that, Jamie might have a better recording version through Discord. So,
I mean, it's a gaming mic. Like, for a gaming mic, that's pretty good. Like, if you were gaming right now, I'd say that's a good quality microphone.
See, you know what, Jamie? I was fishing for a compliment. You gave it. You know, I felt quite embarrassed. I've got my big embarrassing headset on my bald head at the moment, and so I think seeing his awesome mic got me mic envy, you know, because his is bigger than mine, so I just kind of
you know what they say about guys with big microphones,
you know, big socks.
It's, you know, when you watch those, you know, you watch films, even professional films, and there just won't be any audio recorded, it's just off camera.
Yeah,
it's like, that's my pet hate. So at least for this instance, like, there is one. Like, I've heard podcasts where they're just recording off like one mic and they're like 20 yards away. I don't know why I'm saying yards. I've been watching too much NFL.
All right, you American.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than watching somebody's film when they've just not bothered to record audio whatsoever.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we've been out of the film industry, I like to think, for probably 5 years after graduating, but it's funny how, like, a lot of things, like, you know, audio recordings and even just watching movies with audio and editing and all these things, it kind of makes you dissect everything. So I remember back when we were recording the first J. Drew podcast, you know, halfway through our schooling venture at uni, and I used to never care. You were like, dude, the sound's terrible, we have to do it again. And I'm like, Jamie, calm down, mate, it sounds fine. And then you'd listen to it and it sounds like you put my phone through a blender. But then, like, now I'm like, I'm sure that sounds great, but I'm like nitpicking every, like, bounce of word, every sound I make with my mouth, you know. So it's funny, the you leave the film life, but the film life never leaves you.
You've been waiting to say that. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I wrote a couple of jokes down before this, so I hope that's all right.
It's that thing of, like, you know, you don't, unless you don't have any perspective on it, you don't really know about it. Like, somebody could make something and show you it, but until you point it out, they don't know. They're not sure of that deficiency.
That's it. That's a good point. I think yeah, like if you point things out, you kind of nitpick. Even Ramza now, when she watches like some shows, I'll pick out an edit that's a misedit. Like someone's walked through a room, yeah, and then that same person walked in the room again, and you get that kind of element. And now Ramza's doing it, so now she's kind of
yeah,
she's tainted for that regard. So her movie experiences are always going to be forever tainted.
Yeah, it does. It does sort of ruin you. Even 5 years later, you just notice some continuity or editing or audio.
That's it. It's when even right now, like having this conversation, I'm listening to us talk, and I'm like, it doesn't feel natural because we're not together. We're so used to being like literally in a car, guys. Like we were in my old Nissan Pulsar, which I still have, by the way. It's sitting in the front front yard at the moment, and it basically. We would sit there, like the microphone would be in the cup holder, and we would be like next to each other. I'm not sure if it was in the cup holder, but it was definitely in between us, and we'd be wedged against the wall. And if anyone walked past the car, it looked really like hot and foggy. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, it feels it's a lot harder inherently, just because, you know, back at that stage we were spending most days together anyway. Whereas now it's we'll be lucky if we see each other once a year at this current rate.
Yeah, right.
I mean, especially,
especially 2020.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. 2020 is a weird year. Like this is, it's funny. I've never said the word weird, odd, not normal so much in my life than I have in the last 6 weeks during isolation. Like I feel like I'm constantly saying when things go back to normal and, you know, I'm sure everyone's feeling that way as well, but I genuinely am abusing the word weird at the moment.
I'm not someone that goes out a lot anyway. So for me, it hasn't been that drastic, but not being able to go out, you know, just to normal shops or see friends is, you know, is quite daunting. But I know for a lot of people, it's a state of anxiety and
people like, even me, like I've, we're not going to a dark place in the JJ podcast, I promise. But we're definitely going to expand on I know that I myself included and a couple of friends that I know, we think we're okay with being home. We think we're homebodies, but when you're actually told to stay home, you kind of get that feeling that, hey, I want to go visit my parents. Oh, I can't. Oh, okay. Why don't we just go out for dinner? Oh, we can't. You know, like those little things that were literally maybe one, you were only leaving the house maybe once a day on a day off other than for work. You know, those kinds of things kind of react and play against each other.
I mean, that's, you know, that's one thing. And like, you know, obviously there's things that go with that, but it's another thing to like, I'm currently still working, you know, you get customers that come in, but I'm just surprised at the sheer amount of customers that are still coming in, even if, you know, we are flattening the curve. There's just so many people just coming out for a casual stroll. They'll just have a look around. They won't even buy anything. I'm just amazed at that. You know, you're told to do something and it's almost like people just don't like being told what to do. Even if you don't think it's going to affect you, even if you don't think you're going to affect others, it's not the point.
No, it's not the point at all. Like you've hit the nail on the head there, but I think there's a lot of people out there. Like social media is such a, it's so funny. Social media is such a great thing for things like this, where we can have a podcast and, you know, message each other via Facebook Messenger or, you know, look at people's lives indoors through Instagram and stuff. But it could also be a kind of a window into someone's life. And honestly, man, like I've been disappointed with a couple of people that I guess I would say I'm friends with, maybe not close with, but, you know, seeing their like Instagram stories and they're, you know, going out and yeah, they're cool. They're riding a bike or they're doing something like this exercise, but they're doing it with a larger group. And just because the law states you can do so, they kind of flaunt that and abuse that kind of, I guess I would say privilege at this point in time. Like we're very privileged in this country. Like every other country is a lot worse off. And I just think a lot of people need to understand that when these kinds of things happen.
Yeah. I mean, having said that, I know that like considering we never hit stage 4, which would have been a severe lockdown, and the rate in which it has decreased. I mean, that would say that, you know, most people are doing what they should be doing, considering how other countries are. But it's just surprising how, yeah, you're sort of told to do something and people just don't want to do it, or they just think it doesn't apply to them. Like, you know, the beaches, you know, when it was a first a big thing, the beaches, everyone just at the beaches. And then we've opened the beaches just yesterday and everyone's still turned back up.
Yeah. It's like they think, oh, because something's back open, it's like, cool, everyone needs to go there, everyone needs to do that. And I've seen people on like Twitter and luckily not Facebook, I guess. I like to think that like friends that I have are doing the right thing and stuff like that. And, you know, I know I've only got like 3 friends, but still, like, it's nice to have that peace of mind. But I think the big thing for me at the moment is I get very angry at the moment just looking at social media and things like that when people are flaunting or arguing the rules and seeing what's happening in America with protests and stuff. So I think this is, as much as I'm bringing it down a notch, I'm kind of trying to give a bit of a contrast of where we're at as a podcast, because I think we're a lot more lively. I feel like we're a lot more, I guess, joke around, I like to think, even when we chat and have a laugh. But I think these serious times can kind of bring that down a bit. So we'll try to escape that. We'll try to make that. But we're obviously not going to beat around the bush. We're going to give you our opinion. And if you like it, great. Hit like, subscribe, whatever. But
sorry, not to interrupt you. I think it would have been
remiss
of us not to mention it, but it's not something that you particularly need to focus on, I don't think. Everyone's doing their part, so as long as you keep doing that, there's other things to talk about as well.
That's it, exactly it. And I think that's why it's kind of cool that we get to do this. Like, I probably would think we wouldn't do this, you know, if we were still, you know, I guess allowed to go outside, we probably still wouldn't be doing a podcast. But, you know, we make the most of a situation, and I'm excited to do this. So it'll see how it records and see how it plays out. I think I definitely had a night, and I think anyone who follows us on Facebook might have seen a little post, and it got a little bit of an interaction and following from the, you know, my mum and your mum and everyone, you know, like, but, you know,
my cat,
your cat, my dog, your fiance, my wife, we had to get them to force to like my wife deleted social media, just specifically so she didn't have to follow us, but that's just cause she's heartless, but that's fine. No, she's just not a social media body, but she would have liked that post. But that post got a lot of interaction. I just basically said, like, soon, or I can't remember what I said. I think I might have had a couple to drink that night in isolation, thinking I was being a revolutionary, thinking of podcasts will be the future. But it seems like everyone else is doing it at the moment, so I think we're a bit late to the bandwagon.
Yeah, we've been superseded.
You know what, like, I listen back, and I encourage anyone who is listening to this to listen to the older ones, you know, when we're allowed outside in the sun. But, you know, yeah, like, the funny thing is, like, I feel terrible because I listen back and I'm doing the same thing I usually do, which is waffle on. But I would always, like, you would bring up a pretty good topic, we talk about it, and then I'd be like, speaking of, and then it would be nothing to do with it, like, at all. Like, you'd be like, hey, Adrian, like, let's talk about shots fired. I'm like, yeah, man, awesome. Anyways, at uni, this thing, and you're like, and you would just put up with it. So, you know what? You deserve a medal, my friend.
I mean, I don't know. That's the power of two people talking, I guess. I mean, what do we used to talk about? It was sport, uni, or shots fired, and both of those three things ain't happening.
Yeah, all of them aren't happening at all. Like, that's crazy. That's so funny. That's possibly why we've got this almost stop-start vibe at the moment. That's such a good point. Like, we used to have sport, shots fired, and uni, and we've graduated uni.
Right, and my Thai massages, but that doesn't happen either.
Oh, yeah, dude, the Thai massage. I listened to that episode. That was the, like, first day of isolation. I knew we were going to be locked down because my work was one of the first to close everything down. And so I was like, oh, you know, I can't sleep. I don't have work tomorrow, so I'll listen to something. And it popped up on my, like, recommended, and I'm like, that's quite vain of my phone, but it's completely right. I do want to listen to it. So I listened to that episode, man, and that is, like, I know we make jokes about, you know, shout-out episode 2, like, that kind of thing, but that was classic. Like, that was some good banter.
I mean, that was the height of our podcasting. It just went downhill from there. So I don't know where this goes on the scale, but we'll find out.
It slots somewhere in between, like, clown meat, which was like a really, like, one of our, I think that was our last episode, which I'd like to think was one of our poorer ones, only because I was really trying to be funny and I just wasn't landing. So that's probably where we start. And then you've got episode 2. So I like to think it's like the meat in between those two loaves of bread. so hopefully people find it appealing.
I mean, we mentioned sport then. I mean, this is just, that's the only thing I know, really. It's just unbelievable that I can't. I mean, obviously, there's completely understands and it's completely the right thing to do, but it's just, you know, I'm resigned to like watching the 11-hour Wimbledon match between John Isner and Nicholas Mahut.
Dude, I can't believe you messaged me that, and I think like I watched the first maybe 20 minutes, and the fact that I knew that consciously this was going to go for 11 hours, I was like, nah. And then I just stopped it, and I just didn't even bother. How far did you get?
No, I started the fifth set just because, and then I got two games in. I sort of did the same thing, but like, I love the fact that it's on there. Like, I just do one day just want to sit down and just watch all
that match.
150 games in the last set. It's just, yeah.
That's insane. But it'll never happen again, right? They've changed the rules that won't ever happen again at any major slam.
It's a bit of a shame. I mean, it makes sense given, you know, just the rigors of the body. But I would like to see, as Wimbledon's done it, like 12-12 maybe, then have a tiebreaker. But it is cool that, you know, the game is potentially can just keep going.
Yeah, like, because
if you can't be broken for 50 straight games, some would argue then you got to have a tiebreaker. Some would argue then keep going until somebody is broken.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that's like the Australian Open is the one that did the fifth set 10 point tiebreak, right?
Yeah, I mean the US Open always they just had a, you know, a normal tiebreak. It was then Australian Open said, "Oh, we're going to do 10 point." Wimbledon said 12-12, and French is still, there's no tiebreak.
That's so funny, because like you'd think there'd be some form of uniformity between them, because they're all major slams, like they're the Grand Slams, there's only four of them, but they always like to have their own little quirks. Like, I get the courts are different, and it's a different kind of game style, but it's still a Grand Slam, so you'd think that hopefully the scoring would be similar.
I would like to see, I don't know, I'd like to see something on the female side change.
Yeah.
I just think that, I don't want to, you shouldn't get into that debate, but I just think that, yeah, they need, there's something needs to happen there. Like, maybe they shouldn't play tiebreaker. I don't know.
The women's games, like, what, actually, I'd counter that and say, yeah, you're right, like, that maybe there should be some changes, but I actually enjoyed the women's game this time around at the Australian Open more than I did the men's game, mainly because, look, you've been telling me for years to get off the Djokovic bandwagon, and I think I finally have. Like, I don't know if
that's true. There's just something about him. I don't know what it is. Like, I get there's this hate from people, and it's like there's some hate for no reason.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I hate him. There's just something about him that I'm not as fond of him as, say, you know, the other two.
And that's fine. Like, I think you're allowed to feel. So however you do, like, you know, it's about like footy teams, right? Like, we've had discussions around it, like, and we never get into it too much because we both get heated. But, you know, footy sport, any kind of sport, basically, you'll have that kind of preconceived idea about someone or some team because,
I mean, maybe, that's how you are. Maybe it's his on-court persona or how he reacts to certain things.
Mm.
But like, there's no denying his, you know, the capabilities of him, like, to come back against team when I thought he was done, showed the mark of him.
Yeah, see, that game I still think that he took a medical timeout and it was not, like, it's not well placed.
Yeah, I think that's a good argument. Like, I don't think that it was unmotivated for that reason. Whether there was something or not, like, I think that was a strong reason.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the big reasons that that the game was so, like, such a nothing game, I would say, because team was, like, everyone was rooting for team. Like, I could, you know, Twitter was a buzz, social media, everyone was, you know, Australians root for the underdog, you know, and I think
but maybe... they also want to see someone else win as well.
Yeah, there's that, but I feel like if it was a different position, and this is where the Djokovic camp comes from.
Yeah, no, I know what you're going to say. If it was like Federer.
Yeah, if it was Federer. And like, there was a very good point made when Federer played Milman. Remember that match?
Yeah, yeah. I think the crowd was pretty, it was almost 50-50 maybe in Federer's favour.
Yeah, and I think mainly because obviously he's a, you know, the best male tennis player that's ever lived, but and that, I mean, I guess that's contested because you never know where Nadal or Djokovic is going to end up. But I think Roger has this nice guy persona that everyone loves, and I think that they, as an Australian sporting community, we usually like that we go for the nice guys. I think there is a good excuse to root for him against Milman because you're so used to seeing him, whereas Milman, you're not really used to seeing that. But I get the argument where, you know, you can be patriotic and you should be probably supporting your national player.
I gotta say, I was totally hoping Milman would win that match, just because he's Australian and he's just probably the hardest working player on the tour, I would say.
Yeah, no,
one of.
And no, I think, no arguments here.
And given his reaction after the match, I think he knows that he sort of blew that match up a little bit.
Oh yeah, poor guy. And like he even said it, like, yeah, he blew it. And but that's the nature of tennis, right? Like,
but then so did Tennis Sandgren against him. So
yeah. Nature of tennis, pun intended.
Yeah.
that's a good segue. See, that was topical. That was name to sport. Like, linking. And me, I'm just, like, all over the place. But, yeah, no, dude, I was actually at that game. I was at the Federer tennis Sandgren game. And I've never witnessed a match like that where someone was in complete control. Tennis Sandgren had Federer on the ropes. The game was done. And I sat there thinking, you know, wow, this could be the last time I see Roger Federer. Maybe he retires after this because obviously he can't compete. But then, like he did against Milman, he pulled it out. But also, I feel like Milman and Tennis Sandgren were so worried about screwing up. They didn't, you know, they were pulling their punches. They weren't fully going for it. And yeah. I think that's where they lost it. And Tennis Sandgren came out in a rant about that. Like, about how he didn't. So, it definitely
happens.
Yeah, I
think he had 7 or 8 match points, and for each one, he didn't pull the trigger. He was playing defensive.
Yeah. He just wasn't in the right mindset. He's not a Grand Slam mindset player. Like, good on him for getting so far. And, I mean, that dude was basically, half his body was into the semi-final, and he was just unlucky to miss out. But we'll see him again. But like, that's another opportunity there where you could. I was at that game, and I think it was 50-50 again because the underdog and, you know, the master. Everyone wanted to support 50-50. But that's like sport at the moment, like tennis, things like that. Uphill battles, like contests like that. I think the Australian community love that. Like, I'm trying to think of another example, but the only great example I can think of is maybe like when the Socceroos go to a World Cup. I know that's such a weird segue, but it definitely is trying to make sense. Is that, think about it, like the Socceroos go to a World Cup and no one in this country really cares about, you know, the world game. No one cares about football or soccer in this country, really. I mean, we do, but that's because I like to think, you know, we're part of a small minority. But the majority don't. But when Australia goes to a World Cup, that's when we become passionate and national. Whereas I feel like a Grand Slam's really hard to do because, you know, we like tennis. We're used to seeing it every summer. But seeing the soccer is there once every 4 years, weirdly, you know, everyone comes out of the woodwork being a soccer fan.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same. We'd say if we were to get, if we get AFL back next month, or we get NRL back next month, I reckon there's going to be a huge viewership for that, even for people that don't particularly like sport or those sports.
Well, I mean,
yearning for something to watch,
especially if Australia, like Australian sport goes back first, which it most likely will. A lot of people in the States are itching for some kind of sport, and I know when the AFL played round one, they had a huge like viewership from the US, and a lot of like, you know, prolific people coming out saying, "Hey, this game looks awesome. I can't wait till next week." And then bang, you know, Corona hit and nothing really went any further. But I think they're going to go back first, and you'll see a big viewership for that as from overseas.
Oh, yeah, I know Pat McAfee, who I was already aware of, and I was already watching his show. He was massively onto it, and he even got to interview what's his name?
Mason Cox.
Yeah, I had a mental blank. Yeah, Mason Cox, of course. Yeah, he was. I mean, this was after the fact of being cancelled, but he was watching it and saying, you know, it's my new favourite sport and all this stuff. And I think the AFL were absolutely they were so happy that they got that recognition for that 1 week because there was no other sport being played.
Yeah.
So I think they were hoping to also keep going because of that. But it's a big opportunity for them if the time is right and everything's in place for that to happen again.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only way I think it could possibly happen is something that I don't want to happen, because I just feel like it takes away home ground advantage, it takes away things, but it does make sense. Is have you heard the talks about an AFL hub?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the headlines and I was trying to work that out in my head. I'm guessing they're going to get some exemption from the government where they can all just fly in between these places, and as long as they're in those places, they can go from point A to point B to point C and be right to play.
That's one of them. That's one idea. The other idea floating around, which is what the NRL was actually originally going to do, and they had plans in place to do it, but the AFL said, you know, we won't do that unless serious matters happen, which unfortunately now it's serious, right? But they were going to have every game played in Queensland. They were just going to pick a place that had high humidity and warmer temperatures, so they would avoid the cold. So they've got less chance of getting sick. Now, I get the reason behind it, but it's still a contact sport. So unless, you know, they can guarantee safety, and they were still not going to have crowds or anything. But the idea floating around was that Queensland would be the hub. Everyone would move up there. Everyone would have their own suburb and place to stay, you know, putting money into the economy there. No one would have to fly. But that's 17 rounds. Like, people be away from, you know, newborn families. Like, how many footy players have, you know, small children, wives, whoever? They're not going to just uproot themselves for that. So I think we've got to think about the player, I guess, welfare as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that can happen. I mean, the hub, you know, the quarantine hub thing would definitely seem plausible. I don't know how necessary it is, but, you know, it's up to the players, obviously. And if the players are fine with it, the coaches are fine with it, the staff's fine with it, the league's fine with it, I mean, obviously they would be. But if they're all fine with it, then I don't really have a problem with it because, you know, I mean, it's sport. Like, people do want to see it. It gives us something else to focus on. And I mean, in theory, it sort of makes sense. Some would argue, why do they get an exemption? But I think that's the more realistic option.
Yeah, I think it's a weird one because, you know, I can see both sides of the story. I'm very much Switzerland in this matter. Like, I think if they didn't go ahead, I would completely understand. But I'd also question, my wife's... So my father-in-law actually brought up a good point, which was, you know, sometimes, you know, morale at home, seeing footy played, seeing things like this might happen, might stop. That's not saying it'll stop domestic violence. It won't stop these, you know, big things, but it might at least, I guess, make people a little bit more happier, especially people who do enjoy that. Like, and I know me and you, dude, like, we're massive sport fans. And I think, I think it would be really, really good idea to have it back for morale. I know I'd be a lot happier, but I guess that's just me, and we can't just think about sports lovers. We have to think about, you know, everyone in general.
I mean, why do people sign up as members? Why do they go to games? Why do they watch it? It's for entertainment and, you know, to give them something to do. So I think that would be the whole reason that they would want to do this. And I think it's, there's also financial aspects. You know, some teams would be in dire trouble if there's nothing happening this year. And I think that shouldn't be overlooked as well.
Well, that's a good point. Like, in Europe, with the soccer, I know there's a lot of obviously wealthy clubs in Europe, but I'm a big follower of the Scottish Premier League and Celtic, and they're going to be okay. I'm sure Rangers will be okay too, but there's pretty much every other club is in financial disarray. So what they had to do was all of the lower leagues, they paid them off. So whoever won, whoever was going up won, they ended it. But the actual Premier League itself, those bottom tier clubs aren't getting their money because they're still in limbo. They don't know whether they're going to play. They don't know whether they're not. And they're financially possibly going to go under. And you could find that a lot of leagues around the world, sports around the world, are going to go under. And it's a harsh reality, but it's quite obvious that it's probably going to happen.
I mean, it's the same as people without jobs now, companies losing money left, right, and center. I mean, there's a massive implication. It's heading towards a recession, but yeah, I guess it's the other consequence of, you don't, everything's fine. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say here that it's the other consequence of saying you've kept healthy, but then there's this consequence.
Yeah, you've kept healthy. You've done the right thing. Yeah, but it's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Like, you know, we can flatten the curve, and that's great, and then we can, you know, get everything up and running with other sports and other things just to keep them afloat, but then we could be causing more harm to the rest of the community, you know? I'm not a sportsman, as you can... for people who don't know, if you want to go to my Twitter, you'll see a picture of me. I'm a twig-like figure with no muscle mass whatsoever, so I'm just... And I've got a beer belly now because it's 5 years later. That's 5 years of extra drinking. So,
what else are you going to do right now?
That's it, right? Well, that's what I was. One other thing that I'm sorry to switch topics, but it's funny you mention that. Like, diets go out the window at this point, I believe. I just feel like this is a time where you can either be, you know, super healthy, but if you can't mentally cope with, you know, sticking to a diet and sticking to, you know, regular exercise, and that actually impairs you because you can't do other things as well, then maybe it's not the best time to start one. But I know other people, and I'm sure actually you're the same, where you actually thrive from, you know, exercise, you know, mentally keeps you better. What do you think?
I think if you're self-motivated, it's a pretty good time. You know, I'm not someone who goes to the gym, but I've got equipment here, so like that's all I really need. But I know of people where they do need the motivation, you know, to with other people, and whether it be yoga classes or gym classes or running classes, you know. Yeah, for some people it's a definite negative, other people it's a positive, but it just depends where you are.
And you know what, like that's something I didn't think of, which is actually that group mentality. That's something that for me, weirdly enough, I don't go to the gym. I barely even exercise anymore since the discontinuation of our indoor soccer franchise, Shots Fired. But I think it's a big topic is, you know, people's mental well-being. You know, some people need others and to do certain things. You know, I know my wife, she's currently doing a master's degree in teaching at the moment. And the reason she didn't sign up for an online course is because she wanted to physically go to a uni, go and discuss with classmates, discuss with lecturers and things like that. And she can't do that at the moment. So she's actually struggling in that aspect where she actually needs other people, you know, for that motivation. So I'm trying my best to help her out, but that's like an education point of view. But I'm sure it's the same with exercise as well. Some people, you know, have a gym buddy they go with every time. And if they don't see their gym buddy, then maybe they're not going to be exercising as much. I feel like at the start of the podcast, I was very, you know, very, I guess, serious and less lax. But the more and more I talk, the more and more I'm forgetting about, you know, the isolation and, you know, what's happening outside the four walls of our home.
I mean, again, I'll probably talk to my fiance and colleagues at work, and that'd be about it, as in, you know, verbally. Mm. So it is something about, you know, I guess just getting things off your chest and just talking about things.
It's good though. It's good, man. Like you mentioned this is a good way to think about it. Like, what is this episode going to be called? It's going to be called Lack of Rundown. Lack of content. But like, even if we had a rundown, even if we had of what we want to discuss, I think we're very lucky because we're good friends. So I quite enjoy this regardless. So even if there is no listener viewership, it's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, well, that's all it is. It's just two friends talking, and then other people can listen to it if they want to, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would.
No. But hey, you know what? I'm gonna bring, the first time ever, I'm going to bring in a rundown midway through this right now. We've talked about isolation. We've talked about what's happened in the last 5 years. We've talked about tennis. We've talked about lack of sport. We talked about the AFL. We've actually got a pretty good content base. If we can cut out those excerpts and slam them together, we might have a podcast here, kids.
Yeah.
that was so convincing.
Find somewhere else to... Yeah. Find another way to keep going.
That's so funny. That was like... Yeah, Jamie was like, as I'm saying, he's like, Adrian, this is trash. This is trash. This is trash. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, it's really good, Adrian. Yeah, you got a good point. Yep. I found it amusing, at least. Well, I was thinking also that we like on that sport topic and things like that, the lack of sport and the lack of, I guess, events happening. Today's actually Anzac Day, right? So, like, that's something that, you know, is obviously a big deal, and you know, lest we forget and things like that. But honestly, like, Anzac Day is such a big thing for Australians. This is probably the first time since the World Wars that an event like this has stopped, I guess, I wouldn't say a celebration, but I guess a remembrance of what happened, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you kind of forget that in a way, before you're obviously reminded as it comes up. But there's a lot of things like that that people can't commemorate, you know, things like that, or like celebrate, you know, birthdays or occasions or, you know, weddings, and other, you know, things that fall on certain days.
That's, and the reason I bring it up is because, you know, the date, you know, today being is obviously an important day for many reasons, but it's just a different way to interact, and it's a different way. And I was mentioning, you know, sport, like Anzac Day also has, you know, the Collingwood Essendon game at the MCG that usually happens, you know, every year. And I'm not trying to say that that's to take away from the day that it is. Of course, you know, Anzac Day is about remembering, you know, the fallen. But that game is another example of, you know, that's what some people would do for their Anzac Day. Like, for Anzac Day, they would be going to the MCG, you know, going to watch either their team or not their team, or just going for the, you know, the remembrance of the fallen, you know, beforehand. There's a really good ceremony, you know, it goes for about an hour before. And I actually watched the video the AFL put up. They actually got one of the ex-soldiers with the bugle horn in the middle of an empty MCG doing it, and it was haunting because that's something that a lot of people do. They commute out there to see that, and it was nice for the AFL to do that still.
Yeah, I mean for some people that is there, you know, that is what they do on that day. That is their form of commemoration. And I know that even like Anzac Day Eve, that's a big thing now at the football. You know, late at at night time, there's just something about that when they have the ceremony and the features and stuff like that. I know that I've been, you know, there the past 4 or 5 years, so yeah, it is a big thing as well, you know. And there's also the Good Friday and I'm sure to a lesser extent the Queen's birthday, but there are things that won't be sort of happening.
Yeah, like that. And you know, this seems like a kind of a somber affair because we're talking about the things that aren't happening. But thinking about the things and the positives that are happening, like that positive for me, at least taking from my long ramble about Anzac Day, is that that they still went out of their way and they got I think he's obviously a high-ranking former officer of, you know, the Australian Army to get the bugle horn out and belted out at the MCG is something that I found really cool, touching and cool. And I'm starting to think about all the cool things that are happening that might would have happened. For example, I'm trying to think of like releases and things like that. I know that, you know, companies are still releasing products and things like that. And usually, you know, I use Apple as an example. You know, they released a new phone and it's the first time they've ever done an online launch and they're still proceeding with that. And I know that's a more of a marketing and a more of a product look at it, but it's nice to know that some things are still proceeding or they're trying to proceed, you know, by doing this kind of thing where they're video streaming.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, there's films that are just going straight to digital releases now. And like people working from home, like, do we think that people are not going to work from home after this? It's going to change things.
Oh, yeah. Like, I work in retail, so I'd probably need to be in store. But I'm thinking about like my friends who I don't work with, one of my friends in advertising, and he realized it didn't really change much. The only thing changed was the setting. It was literally just the location. He could still have his meetings through conference call apps. He could still proceed as normal. And as weird as it sounds, my dad's also the same. My dad's a geologist. He's was working in Adelaide, and he was told he had to, you know, he was living in Adelaide probably for the last 12 months, working there. And he's now doing the exact same job at home through conference calls. And I think they're having a realization that, hey, maybe you didn't need to be in Adelaide. It is nice to have you here in person, but maybe we only need you here every so often rather than living here. So, you're right. It definitely will change the game. And I think it'll change a lot of social interactions as well.
Like, are we going to handshake after this? I don't even know.
That's, it's something that, people aren't focusing on because it's something they haven't even thought of. But I'm having weird, like, dreams that we're, like, going outside the house and I'm catching up with friends and I go for the hug and then, immediately when I wake up, I'm conscious that, oh, my God, I could have got something there, And it's funny that our brains are thinking like that at the moment, but you're right. Like, are we going to handshake after this?
I mean, it's the same thing. Like, that's how you probably contract the flu, generally.
That was one of the big things by, the World Health Organization. They were saying, wash your hands more. Well, I know me. I like to think I'm at least cleanly, but I know that a lot of people, might be a bit more blasé about it. They might have done the gardening and then not washed their hands and, just made a sandwich. Or I know that's a poor example, but like, you touch a DVD at JB Hi-Fi and then you go home and you have dinner, but you haven't washed your hands beforehand. That's how you can contract things. And you're right, man. Like, everything's going to change. I'm even thinking to the extent of, every store now will have a form of sanitization as you leave. And I think that's just going to be a definite.
It'd certainly be interesting.
Like, I mean, as in sanitization, the thing that Donald Trump wants us to inject into our veins. What is it? the detergent, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the name. That's how scramble
sanitizer.
Yeah, sanitizer. Anyway. Jesus Christ. I think I said sanitization, but I couldn't think of sanitizer, but whatever, but this app, far out. This is what I mean. When you're locked up, you scramble. But this episode, this episode is corona free. It is, where we can scrub it up. You don't have to worry about it. You can hug the podcast as much as you like. You're not going to have to worry about anything. So don't stress. Doesn't change the way how we work. It's just the only thing that's changed in the last 5 years is everyone else has caught on to what we've been doing for however long.
And far surpassed what we were doing.
Yes, but you know what? They probably had a lot more content being movie stars and working and in the entertainment business. Whereas, we live in little old Melbourne and, we like to, socialize and stuff, but we're not adventurers. we're not adventurous kind of people, Oh, I remember this time I met this person. It's like, yeah, well, I'm not going to be running into Brad Pitt anytime soon. You know what? I think it'd be good if you can like edit this together. I'm sure you'll get at least a half an hour one out of this.
And then I think so. It's not really something that people are gonna. I like to think that we're pretty humorous in the other episodes. It's not something that people are gonna particularly look at that for.
No. Yeah. No. No one's gonna be looking at this podcast and going, you know what? Damn guys are comedians. These guys are hilarious.
I loved how they told us that. Isolation is so hilarious.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm just thinking about all the times like that people are going to listen to this. And it's been a roller coaster. Let's be real. This podcast has gone up and down so quick. Isolation has been hard for us all. And then we're like, having a laugh about how like my mic sounds like ass. Like it's just gone from 0 to 60 and then to 0 again quite quickly. But I think it's the times that we're in, man. Like, I think as weird as it sounds, the next podcast we do after this will be a lot better because, one, we know how the beats work when we're talking now. We know how the setup works. We'll know if this sounds, audibly workable. Did we ever throw out a podcast back in the day? Did we ever, not air one? Did we not, share one to the public?
I don't think so. I think we recorded that very first one and we were like, oh, we'll just see how it goes. But we ended up releasing that one and there's nothing else that we recorded that we didn't put out there. That's why I'm thinking we'll just release this one because it's marginally better than nothing.
What I would do is, as the title, I would probably name it 60 Minutes of Silence. Oh, dude. No, this is... I know I'm going to go on about it again, but this has been fun, Leon. Like, it's good to catch up and to chat. And the more and more I talk, the more and more I'm thinking of, you know, what I want to ask you about. But I think I've got a couple of questions I'd like to put to you, if that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, you can go for it. I mean, sure.
He's so unconvinced. He's like,
I was gonna say something else that was completely different, but
Go for it, man. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say, you know, it's been 5 years. Like, you've got to get back into the groove, and I feel like minute by minute we're getting there. And we didn't even know if this was gonna happen until, you know, half an hour before we started it. So unless somebody was gonna sleep in again. So
Look, let's be real here. Send in your guesses to who it was to our Twitter accounts. Mine is at AO Hodgson, and Jamie, just yell out your account.
Was it my Twitter or my Instagram?
Ah, your Twitter.
Oh, yes, at underscore Jamie Watt.
At underscore Jamie Watt, at AO Hodgson. Tell us who you think it is, and we'll tell you next week. It was Jamie. It was Jamie. No, but I'll be honest. This is something that I did actually wanted to ask you about, this, because this is so funny. The more and more we talk, you're right, the more and more we're getting the hang of it. Though there's one thing that I've just realized is we had recorded maybe, I want to say, 9 episodes, maybe 10. How many did we do?
I think this is the 11th. I had it up before. I think this is officially the 11th.
Sure. So, but, you know, we say the last one was 5 years ago. Was that the first one we ever did was 5 years ago?
No, the first one would have been, I guess, 6 years ago.
Well, it's funny you say that, because in the previous...
30th of August. Oh, no, it wasn't actually. It was 3rd of September 2014.
Okay. So, every episode we did, it got longer and longer between gaps. Now, here's where I am bringing this up. You're talking about sleeping in. He slept
it's
in.
It's going to be 10 years.
Yeah, he slept in once, right? And we delayed the podcast by a day, one solitary day, right? I, on the other hand, would be like, with Jamie, we'd do the first ep. I'm like, we'll do one next week, no worries. And then it'd be 2 weeks because I had a guitar lesson, or I had to study for an essay I was doing for film. And Jamie would be okay with it. And then the second episode would come out. I'm like, no worries, we'll do one next week. And it would be a 2-month gap. And then he'd be like, okay, well, let's get back in the groove. Come on. I'm like, yeah, no, trust me, guys. We're going to release them every week now. Don't worry. And then I think, I'm pretty sure if you listen back, there was about a 6-month gap between like all the other episodes. Like, there was a crazy, crazy gap. And that was all to do with me, with poor planning, me trying to be a socialite and trying to go to work parties and go out things.
You had a lot of assignments to do. Like, you had to do like 6 of them, like, you know, 6 times over. So I understand.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I think uni, you know, was the hardest 20 years of my life.
not through no fault of your own.
Yeah. Oh, dude, like that. Like, I didn't want to shit on the school that probably started this podcast, but like, yeah, I'll be real. Like, they screwed up my education, and it's like, that's a whole nother story, man. That is a crazy one. But that's it, right? Like, but you forgave me all those times, Jamie. All those times you forgave me for delaying. And poor Jamie's bringing it up that if someone doesn't sleep in, mate, I'm just happy you're here. Like, I think about it a lot. Like, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you was, so you cancelling, like, on that one time, did you feel like, yeah, that's right, Adrian, I'm the one doing it this time, you bitch?
No, because I probably don't remember all those other times when we would cancel or we'd go to hang out and then somebody, usually you, would cancel.
Yeah, 100%, I was the one doing it. And that's why I feel
I just thought, oh, shit, because it was probably like, to me, it was like, if you're saying, yes, we're doing it today, then you must really, either really want to do it, or like, it's the only time you've got free. So it's like, we had to do it right then.
Yeah. No, I am working from home somewhat, but at the same time, because I'm technically part-time, you realize, because you don't have to travel from here to work, like, you know, you save another, you know, 2-3 hours a day. So it's quite helpful. I don't actually live that far from work, but, you know what it is like, you know, you go get dinner or you go do something. So I've got all those hours back. So we could probably do a podcast every day, mate. And it'd be great. Oh,
I don't know about that.
We run out of content after this episode. Or before this even aired, we ran out of content.
I mean, it's probably not the greatest time to restart a podcast after 5 years in this current climate.
And with the, you know, the market of 4 billion people having the same idea.
Well, and everyone's listening to podcasts at the moment as well.
You know what? That's the only thing I was thinking of is, you know, we're talking, we're having a laugh, and you know, whether it's just for us or for the 4 viewers, my mum, your fiance, and my wife, you know, it's still a good chance that we might get a extra listener. And to you, we're going to give you a car. No, we're not. We're not going to give you a car. Like maybe a Matchbox car, maybe one of those Hot Wheels cars. But we'll give you something, I promise. If you like our page and you're the first new like of the page, we'll know who you are and we will ship you off a Hot Wheels car. But nothing too expensive, maybe $10 or less.
Those are completely Hadrian's words, not mine.
Yep. But hey, the current climate, they can't post shit anyway. So, you know, don't even tell them that. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Nah, man, like, slowly, this is becoming normal.
Yeah, I think it's just a thing of a, you know, when we were doing podcasts in person, we'd be talking about so much that we'd have to tell each other to shut up before it started. so we knew where we were going with things, and it was sort of natural.
Yeah. I think, but you're
and right now, it's like you've been a caveman and you're slowly coming out of the cave.
It's, dude, honestly, that is exactly how I feel right now. Like, I feel like I didn't know how to be sociable. I'm obviously talking too much, but I think that's just a case of not being able to talk to anyone. But I think it's a really cool thing to feel like, oh, hey, dude, we're getting the band back together again. Like, it's happening right now. It's the fruition. So, you know, hopefully people love this self-indulgent crap, but...
Welcome to the Daydream Podcast. I'm Jamie. I'm with Adrian, of course.
Yes, you are.
And together we are Daydream.
No, it just sounds like we're a really shitty boy band.
Wow.